We present King Street Junior by Jim Eldridge, starring Carl Howman as Philip Sims and James Grout as Mr. Beeston, the head teacher.
If I can have a show of hands. Thank you. Passed unanimously. Well, now we've disposed of the preliminaries, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the main item on the agenda, the formulated budget for the coming academic year.
Just a minute, Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
I don't want to hold things up, but there's one thing down here worries me.
What's that, Mr. Danvers?
I don't quite understand what they mean when they keep referring to units.
That's what you and I used to call a child.
Oh, I see.
Thank you, Mr. Beeston.
Yeah, but according to this, it seems some children are worth more than others.
That's right. You'll see that a 9 or 10-year-old is seen as the standard rate at 1 unit. A child under 5 is rated at 1.11 units, and older pupils at high schools are worth 2.59.
Is that fair, Mr. Beeston?
Well, fair or not, the best type of school to have nowadays is one with pupils aged 4 and 18.
At least as far as capital income's concerned.
Right.
Very confusing. Still, I expect we'll all pick it up as we go along.
I'm sure you will. However, if we can press on. As you'll see from the figures in front of you, the formulated budget for this academic year at King Street is as follows. £358,000 related to the number of children, £6,000 for special needs, a set lump sum of £12,335, floor area allowance of £19,000, energy costs of £10,389.
69.
Oh, yes, 10,369. Thank you, Mrs. Patterson. And with rent and rates, that gives us a grand total of £430,811.
Sounds like a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, when you consider what we've got to do with it.
Is the provision of school meals included in that figure?
Mr. Beeston?
No, the county are keeping that one back, along with a variety of other costs which they're going to deal with centrally.
Doesn't that rather go against the whole idea of local management of schools?
Well, I thought schools were going to be responsible for everything.
Think of it as the anomaly factor.
Theory and practice as far apart as usual.
Quite. However, if we can now turn to the expenditure side of the budget, we'll obviously be discussing facts and figures later, but I have to tell you that savings, considerable savings, have to be made in order to balance the books.
Just hear the worst, Mr. Chairman.
Well, the bottom line is we have to lose £25,000 from the school's annual expenditure.
£25,000? We can't cut that amount.
Yes, I know, but those are the hard facts.
Well, where's it all going to come from?
Well, as you know, Mr. Beeston and I have been putting our heads together in an attempt to come up with a mutually acceptable proposal for cuts, but unfortunately we haven't been able to agree on what and where to cut. So what we've decided is to put before you a summary of each of our individual proposals. If you wouldn't mind, Mrs. Wright.
Thank you.
There are two sheets, one pair for each of you.
Right, thanks.
I'd like a little time to think about this.
You'll find it all very straightforward. And if I may remind you, we must come to a decision tonight.
Tonight?
I'll let Mr. Beeston talk you through his proposals first.
Thank you, Mr. Dillon. Well, I'm sure I don't have to tell you where my priorities lay when I was considering these economies we have to make.
I see they don't come to £25,000.
No, no, they don't, Mr. Danvers, and that's my point. In whatever we decide tonight, the children's education must come first.
Yeah.
However, as you'll see from my figures, I believe we can make cuts amounting to, I don't know, £15,000 or so. And the two principal areas of saving are the cleaners. And I propose that we lay off all present cleaning staff and go into a pool with other schools using private contractors. And second, that we cut down on the purchase of new books.
Well, I don't like that.
Well, neither are steps I want to take. But as savings have to be made, I believe that the cuts in these two areas will do least damage to the standard of education in this school.
Thank you, Mr. Beeston.
Well,
no, please, please, can we leave discussion till later? Thank you. Now, you'll find a summary of my draft proposals on the second page. And if I can refer you to the first three sections...
Wait a minute, what's this?
Please, Mrs. Patterson.
You will see that, give or take a detail, I do broadly agree with Mr. Beeston's suggestions, but as you pointed out, Mr. Danvers, they fall a long way short of the figure that we must be aiming for.
That's right.
So to achieve this, I have two additional proposals. And it's these on which Mr. Beeston and I are divided.
Deeply divided.
Indeed. The first is to reduce the hours worked by the school secretary, Mrs. Stone, to mornings only.
We can't do that.
Which will result in a saving of £4,500 a year.
And how does Mr. Beeston feel about that?
Oh, very unhappy. Mrs. Stone has been a more than loyal servant of this school.
Hear, hear.
She's worked over and above any terms of job reference, and I think that to treat her like this is nothing short of disgusting.
That's right.
However, it is my second suggestion that I know Mr. Beeston feels even more strongly about.
So do
but
I.
I do wish to give you my reasons for it. We all know the biggest part of the school budget is teacher salaries. Now, it is possible, if you accept my proposal, to cut those costs by as much as £7,000 without losing a teacher.
We do lose a teacher, in fact.
But not a teaching post.
Yeah, but according to this, we'd be getting rid of an experienced teacher.
An expensive teacher on a high scale.
And replacing him or her with a cheap one.
But I think we should ask ourselves how we can turn such a loss and subsequent replacement to the school's advantage, quite apart from any financial considerations. And I believe we'd do so by bringing in a new young teacher with special interests in the sciences.
You're not thinking of kicking out Mr. Long?
No. In my opinion, the ideal candidate, if that's the right word in this unfortunate context, that candidate is the present music teacher, Mrs. Rudd.
Mrs. Rudd? Oh,
I say, are these biscuits private property?
I don't think so. Mr. Holliday brought them in.
I wonder what's wrong with them, then. Well,
they seem perfectly all right to me. I've just had one with my tea.
No ill effects.
Don't be silly.
I'll just give it a couple of minutes, see if you collapse with biscuit salmonella.
Well, you'll have to come with me to the hall. I have to prepare the music for assembly.
Well, on second thoughts, I'll take a chance.
How is the new class settling down?
Fine, I think.
Doesn't take them long, does it?
I'd have thought it was harder for you with the first years.
Oh, not really. I think the awe of the new environment keeps them quiet for the first week or so. By the time they've found their feet, I'm ready for them.
Clever stuff, eh?
Result of years of research, Mr. Sims.
Look, while we've got a minute, can I tell you about an idea I want to try?
If you think it'll help. What's the idea?
Well, one of the new kids in my class, Sandy, he's a complete non-reader.
Complete?
Well, as good as. He takes about 10 minutes between each word. Well, those he can recognise, that is.
I don't remember him.
Well, you wouldn't. He's come here from a school in South London.
Oh.
Anyway, the problem is, because he's never really learnt to read, every time he tries to, he just seems to get a mental block. All he can think about is failing.
Oh, I can see what you mean.
So I thought it might be worth seeing how he'd get on using a tape recorder. Look, I'll show you what I want to try out.
Okay.
I'm sorry I had to cancel at such short notice, but, you know. Yeah, doesn't it always? Anyway, I'll give you a call in the next day or so, and we'll fix another date. Eh? Yeah, well, take care. Love to Margaret. Yeah, thanks. Bye-bye.
Mr. Beeston!
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought I would find you hiding away in here.
What is it, Mrs. Wright?
A disaster, Mr. Beeston, no less.
Yes?
One of the strings has broken inside the piano.
Ah, is that all?
Is that all?
Well, it could be worse, couldn't it?
But how am I going to play for assembly this morning?
The other strings are all right, aren't they?
I believe so.
Well, then can't you try and avoid the one that's broken?
Impossible.
Why?
It is middle C.
It would be, wouldn't it? Nothing obscure like top X or bottom Z.
Ridiculous. Anyway, what are you going to do about it?
Well, there's not much I can do before assembly. You'll have to bring down that electronic contraption from the music room.
No, that would not be appropriate. Anyway, I need the hall piano. I'm using it all the time.
Yes, I know.
Though heaven knows, if you had had an ounce of music in you, you would have had it replaced long ago.
I don't know, it's not that bad.
There speaks the non-musician. However, we are straying from the point. What are you going to do about my strings?
Well, I'll try to get something sorted out for you.
As quickly as possible, I hope.
I will do my best, Mrs. Rudd.
Well, I shall certainly make sure it doesn't slip your mind.
I'm sure you will.
Oh,
that's all right. Well, come on in, Fred.
Oh, what was all that about?
How are you at restringing pianos?
About the same as winning the pools. Is she giving you a bad time?
No more than usual. Anyway, I've got more serious problems on my plate at the moment.
Apart from Mrs. Rudd?
Well, in fact, it is Mrs. Rudd.
Ah, now what's he done?
Governor's meeting last night, Fred. Yeah, shut the door.
Yeah. I was wondering how that had gone.
Well, amongst other things, the chairman proposed that she be given the push.
Mrs. Wright?
Mm. Plus Mrs. Stone's hours to be cut by half.
No. Oh, no, Harry, he can't do that.
He can, if the governor supports him.
And they went along with it.
Oh, you voted on two proposed budgets, mine and his. And his was carried by 5 votes to 3.
No, I won't do it.
Well, I told them what I thought. A few well-chosen words, you know. And then I, well, I'm afraid I said that if they went ahead with that, that I'd resign.
You didn't.
I'm afraid so.
My God.
Well, what else could I do?
But saying you'd resign is a bit drastic, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. Well, you think about it, Fred. Once they start sacking good teachers... And right, I know Mrs. Rudd can be a pain in the backside, but she's a damn good teacher. But once they do that, the whole nature of this school will change.
Well, it's bound to.
Mrs. Rudd could just be the start. When if budgets stay as tight as they are, it'll be too easy to save money getting rid of high-scale teachers and bringing in young, cheap ones. But God knows I'm not anti-young teachers.
You don't have to tell me.
But if we're not careful, I can see us ending up with too many inexperienced teachers with very little experience to balance them. Well, that can't be good for the kids. Or their education.
And that's what you told them last night.
More or less, with a few less polite words thrown in.
How did they take it? You threatening to resign?
Well, not well, I must admit.
I'm not surprised.
You know, they all just sat there looking at me and shuffling their bits of paper around. Then the chairman recommended we have a 24-hour cooling-off period, as he called it. Time to reconsider our positions. And he's reconvened that meeting for this evening.
The staff won't like that. They're all on tenderhooks waiting to find out what's got to go.
Well, they just have to be patient.
I take it Mrs. Rudd and Mrs. Stone don't know anything yet.
Oh, no. No, we all agreed. Total secrecy until after tonight's meeting. And that means you as well.
Oh, don't worry about me. But it's bound to come out, Harry. I can't see Mrs. Patterson sitting in this all day. Not the way they're getting at it.
Oh, she'll be all right.
Still, one consolation at least. They didn't accept your resignation. Probably thought you weren't serious.
Well, I am. If the vote goes against me this evening, that's it. I'm out.
Right, Sandy. What we're going to do is some recording on this tape machine.
What sort of recording?
You, reading.
But I can't read, Mr. Sims. You know I can't.
So you keep telling me.
I tried at my last school and I got it all wrong. And the other kids laughed at me.
There are no other kids here now. It's just you and me. No one's going to laugh at you.
But I can't read.
Look, you only think you can't read. The other day you picked out words that you knew, right?
Yeah, but at my last school...
Will you forget your last school? You're not there now. You're here at King Street.
Yeah, but why should I read here when I can't anywhere else?
Why do Spurs lose except when they play at White Hart Lane?
They don't always lose.
Ah, and you don't always not read.
But the other teacher said I was no good at reading because I was too slow.
So what? I can't run as fast as Steve Cram. It doesn't mean I can't run.
But my mum and dad make fun of me because I'm slow. They say I'll never learn to read.
Look, Sandy, can we make a deal?
What sort of deal?
If you could hear yourself reading properly, with no ums and ahs and long pauses, will you say to me, I can read?
But I can't.
Will you say that?
I can't.
But if you can.
Oh, all right.
Good. Right, now open the book, and I want you to start to read, and every time you come to a word you're not sure of, press this button here, the one with the orange sticker on, right?
Yes, all right.
And think about the word, look at the letters, and when you think you know it, press the button again, and say the word.
It won't work, Mr. Sims.
We'll see. Now, off we go.
No, Mr. Danvers, we won't need to look at the numbers for the governor's dinner till nearer the time. Oh, October at the earliest. No, that's no problem, thank you. What? Well, no, he hasn't. What about my hours? They're going to be what? No, you did right, Mr. Danvers. Thank you very much for telling me. Thank you. Goodbye. Well, thank God someone had the guts to let me know.
What's
this I hear about my hours being cut?
What?
I've just had Mr. Danvers on the phone, very surprised I hadn't been told, and assuring me that I can count on his support this evening. What is going on?
I'm very sorry, Mrs.
Well, so you should be. He had news like this and over the telephone from Mr. Danvers. I'm extremely hurt, Mr. Beeston.
I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want you upset about something that may not happen. I still hope it won't.
Well, I am upset. Very upset. Yes, I should have been told.
Yes, of course you should. Look, come on in, please. And I think we'd better take the phone off the hook.
And that was one of the chairman's budget proposals. The jaw hours should be cut to mornings only from next term.
I see.
I opposed it. Of course I did. So did two of the governors, but we were outvoted, unfortunately.
Yes.
But as I said, the reason I didn't say anything is because I'm hoping we can get the decision reversed at this evening's meeting. In fact, we had all agreed that there would be no mention of any of the proposals until actual decisions have been taken.
Well, I'm glad someone told me. It's my job you're all discussing.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry.
I don't suppose you got as far as deciding how all the secretarial work was going to get done,
well,
and who'll take the incoming telephone calls in the afternoon.
There was some mention of getting an answer phone.
Oh, what a good idea. And if you can get one that can type and deal with difficult parents, you could do without me altogether. There's no end to the money you could save.
Oh, please,
Mrs. Look, I'm sorry, but how do you expect me to feel? I suppose there are other cuts.
Nothing's agreed yet.
Other people?
I'm afraid I can't say.
If there are, you'd better hope Mr. Danvers doesn't bring them all up to tell them he's on their side. Otherwise, you'll have a queue of very angry people outside this office. Anyway, I'd better get on. We still have a school to run, don't we?
I don't know about you, but I think it's an absolute outrage.
Oh, pass the mustard, please.
Aeon.
Thanks.
It's only a piano string. It's not the end of the world.
I'm talking about Mrs. Stone.
What about her?
Haven't you heard? They're going to cut her hours.
What?
I don't know anything about this.
Yes, the governor's meeting last night. Mrs. Stone has just been telling me about it.
I don't believe it.
They have proposed that from next term she will only work mornings from 9 to 12.
They can't do that. There's too much to do as it is.
Exactly, and Mr. Beeston will be the first to suffer, and quite rightly so. He should never have allowed it.
Poor Mrs. Stone, I'll bet she's upset.
Of course she is, and she has every right to be.
Poor woman. I must go and have a word with her after dinner, see how she is.
So you want that sausage roll?
No, help yourself.
Not like you. Lose your appetite.
I'm not very hungry today.
Not bad. You know, you never told me, why haven't we had the minutes of last night's meeting?
Well, they're waiting till after tonight.
It isn't because there's something they don't want us to know about.
Not particularly, no.
It's unusual, though. We always get to see them the day after.
Well, I don't think it is. I mean, it makes sense to wait till all the final decisions have been made.
Like cutting Mrs. Stone's hours, you mean?
Well, that isn't finally decided yet.
It's on the cards.
Look, there are a lot of proposals up for discussion. They won't all be agreed.
But they're all cuts, aren't they?
Well, not all, no.
And more than Mrs. Stone's hours.
Honestly, what is it with you? Can't you just wait one more day? You'll know everything tomorrow.
You know what I think? It's one of us, isn't it? One of our jobs is on the line. That's why we haven't seen the minutes. That's why you're not talking.
No.
Who is it? Is it me? Is that why you can't say?
I told you, nothing's decided yet.
Because we've got a right to know. It's our job.
Oh, I'm fed up with this. I'm going for a walk. And don't you come after me, because I won't talk to you.
I'm right. It is one of us. I knew it. I'm telling you, as soon as I mentioned our job, she just clammed up and walked off.
Well, what do you expect if she's been told not to say anything?
Yes, but why?
Look, if any of our jobs had been on the line, I'm sure Mr. Beeston would have told us.
He didn't tell Mrs. Stone, did he?
Because it hasn't finally been decided yet.
As good as.
Look, if that's what you think, you'd better go and see him, hadn't you?
Yes, I will. In fact, I'll go and see him right now.
Oh, dear. What have I said?
I reckon he thinks he'll be the one for the chop. If a teacher's going to go.
Now, why should he think that? Could be any one of us.
But he's on top pay, isn't he? If they're looking to save a lot of money...
It may not be decided on who's the most expensive teacher.
I'm not with you.
It could be purely and simply on the numbers game, in which case you and I are just as likely candidates.
Oh, great. That really makes me feel good.
It's a thought.
Yes. And on that happy note, I'd better be off.
Going to look for another job?
No, I'm going to do the one I'm paid for. Or at this time of the day, the one I'm not being paid for. Voluntary extra reading with Sandy.
I've already told you, Mr. Long. As at this moment, everything is still at the discussion stage.
Including our jobs.
Who said anything about your jobs?
It's obvious, isn't it? That's why we haven't been given details of last night's meeting.
It's nothing of the sort.
In that case, I demand to look at the minutes.
What do you mean, you demand?
It's my right as a member of staff.
It is not your right to tell me what to do. Now, get this straight once and for all. At the end of tonight's meeting, the minutes will be written up and distributed tomorrow.
Is that clear?
But you've already talked to Mrs. Stone.
And I have told her that no final decisions have been taken. When they are, everyone, you included, will be told.
But I...
Tomorrow, Mr. Long. Now, will you please just go and let me get on with running this school?
This is a...
Now, don't worry. Take your time. Look at the letters. Think about it.
It's a W word.
That's right. It's the same W word you had a minute ago.
Wet.
Well, press the button and say it.
Wet dog.
Right. That's it. Well done. Now, we rewind the tape and...
This is a dog. The dog has a ball. The ball is wet. The dog is wet too. This is a wet dog.
Right. Who's that on the tape?
It's me.
What are you doing on the tape?
I'm talking about a dog who got wet.
No, I don't mean that. What did we record you doing?
Reading.
Say that again.
I was reading. But it's a cheat, isn't it?
Of course it's not. Are TV programs a cheat? Or films or records?
What do you mean?
Well, they record them in bits, don't they? Or didn't you know that?
Everybody knows that.
Right then. Who do you like on the telly?
Del Boy. He's brilliant.
Are you saying that Del Boy isn't funny because they do the show in different bits?
No, of course not. He's brilliant.
Well, what you've just done is exactly the same. The difference is that you are going to get quicker with the help of this tape recorder, which makes you better than Del Boy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It surely does. Now, fancy doing some more?
Yeah.
Right, let's carry on with this and find out what happens next and see what the dog does.
Hey, you lot! Kevin! Haven't you got a home to go to?
We just got Mr. Beeson. Good night, sir.
Good night. Ah, there you are.
Hello, Fred.
Mrs. Stone said you wouldn't be long.
I needed to get out for a while. Get a breath of air. Has she gone home?
A couple of moments ago.
How was she?
Subdued. But it's not been an easy day for her, has it?
Well, not for any of us. And it's not over yet.
Any more thoughts about tonight?
Ah, I thought I would find you gossiping in here.
Well, you know, those of us with nothing better to do.
What's the problem, Mrs. Rowe?
The broken piano string. What else?
Oh, no.
Don't tell me you've forgotten about it.
I'm sorry, but what with one thing and another...
But we've only discussed it this morning. Really, this is too much. Typical of your attitude to the music.
I wouldn't push it, Mrs. Rudd. He's had a lot on his mind today.
Oh, yes, I know. I've heard all about Mrs. Stone and the way she's been treated. Nothing less than shame.
Please.
It's
please,
only please. Symptomatic of the way this school is run. Well, I have no sympathy for you. You've no one to blame.
Mrs. Rudd!
Yes?
Now, that's enough. Will you please drop it?
I was merely stating my opinion.
Yes, yes, I heard you. But end of subject, right?
As you wish.
Look, I'm very sorry I have neglected your piano string, and you have my word that I will attend to the matter first thing tomorrow.
I do hope you will.
Now, will you please leave us alone and go off and attend to whatever you have to do?
And what do I do about assembly tomorrow?
The same as you did today.
I thought you coped with it very well, actually.
At some cost to the music, I'm afraid.
Goodbye, Mrs. Rudd.
Yes.
The music sounded much as usual to me.
Well, at least it seems she hasn't heard anything yet.
Thank God.
You'll still go ahead with it, will you?
Oh, resigning, you mean?
Yes.
If that vote goes against me again tonight, yes, I will.
Well, if things come to the worst, I hear they're looking for shelf packers down at the supermarket.
And I don't need to remind you all that we must arrive at a formula tonight to resolve this difficult situation.
Before we begin, Mr. Chairman, may I ask Mr. Beeston a question?
By all means.
Thank you. Your threat to resign, Mr. Beeston...
It is not a threat, Mrs. Wright.
Well, your declared intention of resignation. Does that still stand if we decide to cut Mrs. Rudd?
Yes, it does.
Sounds a bit like blackmail to me. Holding us all to ransom?
Not at all, Mr. Danvers. As I said last night, we have a staff of first-class teachers here at King Street, and we all work very hard over the years to give the children every educational advantage. And give or take the odd local problem, educational uncertainties, etc., I believe we have succeeded. The school has a good reputation.
That's right.
And we have achieved this against a general decline in social and, some might say, educational standards. And we have done it because of the quality of the staff.
We are all aware of this.
Now, if I can finish. If we ignore this fact and erode everything we've built up here, then King Street would no longer be the school that I and you can be proud of. And frankly, there'd be no place for me here.
But losing Mrs. Rudd isn't throwing it all away.
It's a step in that direction. We'd be setting a precedent, and who knows where it might end.
I have to say I agree with Mr. Beeston.
I'd expect you to.
And what about your position, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, has that changed?
It can't, I'm afraid. We have a legal requirement to balance the budgets, and that's what we must do.
That old cost.
Please, yes, please.
Well.
Now, I suggest we turn our attention once more to the two budget proposals in front of us.
Well, all in all, that was rather a steamy meeting, wouldn't you say?
You could say that.
The end of an era, Yvonne.
I think so, yes.
Time for a quick drink before you go.
Excuse me, Mr. Beeston.
What? Oh, hello, Mrs. Rudd.
If you don't mind, I'll be getting on. I'll see you in the morning. Bye.
Yeah, well, good night.
Night, Mrs. Rudd.
Good night.
What on earth are you doing?
I'm very sorry to waylay you like this, Mr. Beeston.
Oh, that's all right.
You must forgive me. I'm really not myself this evening.
Why? What's the matter?
Well, I received a telephone call when I arrived home from school this afternoon. It was Mr. Denver.
Oh, Lord.
Well, amongst other things, he told me that this meeting tonight was about me, that I was going to lose my job here at King Street.
Well, as it
happens... But he also said that you were actually prepared to resign rather than let me go.
He had no right to tell you that.
Oh, yes, he did, as I had every right to know. That's why I had to see you as soon as possible to say thank you.
But Mrs. Rudd,
I can't tell you how deeply moved I was. It was a noble gesture, Mr. Beeston.
Thank you.
But I also want you to know that I will not permit you to resign just on my behalf.
Look, Mrs. Rudd,
it's bad enough that one of us has to go, though obviously I'm more than disappointed.
Please, will you let me get a word in?
Yes, of course. I'm sorry. I am going on rather outside.
That's all right. Listen. The governors have just voted, by the narrowest of margins, I must admit, not to get rid of any of the existing teaching staff for the present.
Really?
Yes, Mrs. Rudd, really.
Oh, that is good news. And you must be so relieved.
Yes, I am.
And Mrs. Stone?
Yes, well, we didn't win that one, I'm sorry to say.
Poor woman.
Incidentally, I'd be grateful if you didn't mention it before I see her tomorrow.
I wouldn't dream of it.
Thank you.
But may I ask, if I'm not to lose my job, where does the extra money come from?
Well, Mrs. Wright has suggested that we run a lottery to raise extra funds.
A lottery, Mr. Beeston?
If that's what it takes, Mrs. Rudd. The important thing is we've kept our teaching staff intact, including you and your broken piano string.
Yes, about that, Mr. Beeston, I would like to say that on reflection and considering all the worry you've had today, I was quite wrong to pester you about that.
Wrong, Mrs. Rudd, you wrong?
There's no need to sound so surprised. I have been known to make the occasional error of judgment.
Well, well.
And now, I wouldn't want to delay you getting home, Mr. Beeston, but I wonder... Would you care to have a drink with me?
What a good...